Welcome back again. It is good to see you. I really do feel like our 5-week break felt more like 10 weeks. So, it is good to have the room full and everybody here. If you want to grab your Bibles, we're going to be in the Bible tonight. We're just like we do every week. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 1. If you want to go ahead and find that in your Bibles, we're going to do this series, as Oakley says, called Get Wisdom. Because wisdom is one of those things that we all want, but seems pretty elusive at times. In fact, I was sitting in my office this week, and my office faces the freeway. And I was watching, and just, I kind of got lost for a minute. I just started watching all the cars, and they're going south, and they're going north. And I don't know about you, but every once in a while, when I'm watching traffic, and it happened this week, I started to think, where are all these people going? Like, sometimes I'm driving in traffic, and I'm looking around at a stop sign, and I'm like, I wonder, do they have a job? Or are they just cruising around in the middle of the day? And as you start watching, there's hundreds and thousands of cars, and they're all going from one place to the next place, from A to B. I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't even know why I arrive at certain places. Anybody just kind of zone out sometimes and you just pull into Chick-fil-A one more time? Right? Like, you're just like, oh, I don't even know how I got here. It must be the Spirit. I'm Spirit-led. But like, this is what we do. Like, we go from A to B, and everyone that's driving on that freeway or that road, we're all going from A to B. And I wonder, where are they going? What's their life like? Are they excited to go where they're going, or are they dreading this drive? Maybe that's just me, but I start thinking about all the people that are going somewhere. And very quickly, it turns to a more introspective moment. We're like, well, where am I going? How am I gonna get there? Should I go there? What is it gonna be like when I do get there? Because here's the reality, is we live a life that is a journey. You are all going somewhere, and each one of you, including myself, you are becoming someone along the way. Every single day, every morning, every afternoon, every weekend, you are going somewhere and you are becoming someone. And the interesting thing about this life is it's not like a road trip where in a road trip, you just go somewhere, then you arrive and that's where you are. When it comes to life and living with wisdom, what ends up happening is, yes, you are going somewhere, but when you get to where you're going, you are also somewhere in here. The journey transforms who you are. It just doesn't transport who you are. We are transformed by life. We're transformed by tons of things. And along this journey, one thing that I know for sure, from my own experience, but also from those that I talk to, is that there's this wrong assumption that we all make about who God is. In the midst of this journey, I grew up believing that in this journey of life, God is just there to crush me with demands and rules and regulations. That if you just need to do what I say, or else I'm gonna make life hard for you. It's one of my favorite lines is this idea that I believe that Jesus came to catch me in my sin, when in reality, he came to set me free from the sin that has already caught me. Because along the journey, there are pitfalls and there are roadblocks. There's all kinds of crazy stuff that take us off course. But Jesus didn't come to push you off course or to crush you. He came to set you free, as Carly talked about a minute ago. He offers a better option. God cares about a lot of things, the big, massive, theological, big things of life. Why are we here? What are we to do? Why did Jesus come? Why did God create? He cares about that stuff, but you know what he also cares about? He cares about the nuances of your life. He cares enough to give us his wisdom. He cares enough to say, you know what? Not everything in life is going to be covered within the scriptures of like, hey, where should you go to college? Should you take that job? Find me the verse. It's not there. But God cares about our daily lives. He cares about the relationships that we have. And so what does he do? He gives us Proverbs. He gives us his wisdom. One of the most frequent questions or desires that we come across in our young adult ministry over the last decade is this very thing. But people don't ask this question. They're not like, hey, Andy, can you, I need some wisdom. Here's what they say. Hey, Andy, could you set me up with a mentor? Someone that can walk with me, I can bounce ideas off of and figure out how do I do this thing called being an adult? How do I do this? Can you set me up with a mentor? Well, here's the good news. Jesus carries a lot of hats. He's our Savior. He's our King. He's our counselor. But you know what? In the Proverbs, Jesus is our mentor. He leans in and says, let me show you the way life was meant to be lived, the way that he created it to be lived. And so we're going to jump into Proverbs. And so here's what I want to do tonight. I want to set up the series in a general sense. And then we're going to get into the first seven verses of Proverbs chapter 1. So as we do, here's a quick, very, very brief overview of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is a different type of literature. It is poetry. So you don't read it like a narrative. It's not a story. You don't read it like historical documents. You read it like poetry. It's a collection of different poems, mainly written by King Solomon. But towards the end of Proverbs, we get several other authors that throw in some of their wisdom. And there's one specific purpose, and that is to help God's people live with wisdom. Who is Solomon? King Solomon is David's son. Think David and Goliath. It's David's kid. David has passed away, and at the ripe old age of roughly 20 years old, Solomon is given the crown, saying, you are going to lead and be the king of God's chosen people. Guys, I don't know about you, but my first job at 23, like I got to run a ministry where there was three staff, and within 2 years, I almost got fired. Like Solomon, he's been given an entire country, an entire people group to say, these are God's special chosen people. Solomon, lead them at 20. And then we start to see why Solomon wrote the Proverbs. We go back to his, maybe we call it his kingdom origin story in 1 Kings chapter 3. Here's what it says. Now, this is the prayer of Solomon. Now, Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father, David. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong, for who is able to govern this great people of yours? Pause. I would have never prayed this at 20 years old. Never. What a wonderful prayer to pray for Solomon, and what a wonderful prayer to pray for us. And then in verse 10, we see God's response. The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this, wisdom and discernment, and not long life or wealth for yourself, nor asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never be anyone like you, nor will there ever be again. So Solomon is not just a wise guy. He's not just a smart guy. He's not just, hey man, this guy knows how to do life. He's really socially aware. His EQ is off the charts. No, Solomon is writing because he has been given God's wisdom. It says, the Lord, he said, I will give you a wise and discerning heart. And so what Solomon has then done is he has shared that with us. This is God's wisdom. I don't know if you ever thought about it, but what is the definition of wisdom? It's kind of a hard, it's one of those words you're like, I mean, I want that. I think I know what it is. But if we actually wrote it down, we probably have a hard time defining putting our finger, what is wisdom? Let me help you out. Let's start with just a general definition of wisdom. Wisdom is more than brains and morals. Wisdom is applied skill, expertise, and competence that understands how life really works. That's general wisdom. Now, godly wisdom is the ability to take God's perspective and turn it into functional application. It's spiritual understanding applied to earthly living. So you see, wisdom is skill applied to life. Godly wisdom is godly perspective, godly principles, and the skill to insert them into my life. What's really scary to me is when I think about the day and age that we live in. Where are people going for wisdom? Where are people going for a mentor? Can we just be honest? They're going to TikTok. They're going to Instagram. They're following random people across the globe who just want to make money off of you. That's our, maybe Google, a best friend. Guys, hearing God's word, we have God's wisdom written down for the ages, for you and for I, for your children and your grandchildren to walk with the Lord in wisdom, that life would go well for them because God's wisdom works how God intended life to work. So let's read Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to do 7 verses. It says, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for learning wisdom and discipline, for understanding insightful sayings, for receiving prudent instruction in righteousness, justice, and integrity, for teaching shrewdness to the inexperienced, knowledge and discretion to a young man. Let a wise person listen and increase learning, and let a discerning person obtain guidance. For understanding a proverb or a parable, the words of the wise and their riddles. And verse 7 is the theme verse of the entire book. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. And you're going to see this every week of this series. Solomon pits the wise against the fool. And the underlying question throughout every single passage, every single proverb, every single narrative is, are you going to be the wise or are you going to choose the way of the fool? He doesn't ask it. It's just there in every chapter. Who am I going to be? Who am I becoming? Because you're on a journey. You're on the road trip of life. Have we ever actually stopped to think, am I going the way of the fool or am I going the way of the wise? And so we're going to look at godly wisdom tonight and why wisdom matters. Because if you read in Proverbs chapter 1, there is absolutely a goal. He's laying out, this is the reason that I'm writing this, right? He says, this is for learning wisdom and discipline, for understanding insightful sayings, for receiving prudent instruction in righteousness, justice, and integrity, for teaching shrewdness to the inexperienced, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and increase in learning, and let discerning person obtain guidance. There's two kinds of wisdom that we're looking at. He's saying that the goal is for you to get wisdom, to get understanding, to be a prudent person and to have a discerning heart. But there's the wise and there's the fool. But there's also, throughout the book of Proverbs, worldly wisdom and godly wisdom that are pitted against each other. And so we're going to look really quickly at two kinds of wisdom that are competing for your trust. I want you to think about that for a second. There is a wisdom of this world that is competing to capture your heart and to capture your mind. But there's also godly wisdom that says, hey, this is the way. You know, when I was in high school, my senior year, this is one of my most foolish things that I have ever done in my entire life. I went to Spain on a senior trip. Senior class, or our senior Spanish class went. There's about 25 of us, 2 guys. I was feeling pretty good. My odds are ever in my favor in Spain, right? We're in a foreign country, we're in Europe. This is gonna go well for Andy. Spoiler alert, it did not. So we get there, and one day we're gonna get to do this really cool excursion. And we're gonna go over to Morocco for the day. Morocco is in Africa. And so we get on a boat, we go over there. And if you guys have ever seen the movie Aladdin, yes? That is what Morocco is like. The bazaar where there's just, it's just pure chaos. And our tour guide, I can't imagine he's a very wise person either, because here was his plan. He said, listen, we have to stay together or else you can get lost and we will not find you. Because there are no street signs, there are no stop signs. It's just, you know, I mean, just, it was terrifying. And he says, so here's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna lead, and then we're gonna have a single file line of all the young ladies, and then Andy, you and Quinn are gonna bring up the rear. And he looked at me as an 18-year-old boy, and he said, don't lose anybody. Okay, seems simple enough. Don't lose a human being in Morocco, far, far away from home. And so we start walking down the streets of the bazaar to get the full experience, evidently. And I felt this competing. We literally had people from every shop grabbing our shirts, trying to pull the gal into their shop and then into this shop. And it was, I mean, it was chaos. There was competing for our business. And it wasn't like, hey, come over here at the mall and you just walk right past them, right? Like, no, they physically would grab you and try and pull you into their store. And very quickly, I was overwhelmed. But we didn't lose anybody. Almost. Thank you. Almost. Here's the most foolish thing I've ever done. We're walking there, and this gentleman, I'm feeling pretty good about myself. I'm 18. I'm one of the men of the group protecting all the ladies. I'm feeling, you know, like I'm feeling very masculine. And this guy walks up to me, this native Moroccan, and I kid you not, he walks up to me, looks me square in the eye, and he goes, I give you one cow for that one. I'm not lying. We are now in a bidding war. He is dead serious. Andy, on the other hand, thinks this is hilarious because I have no idea what's actually happening. So my response to this man that I have never met in Morocco was, two and she's yours. Guys, I'm not kidding. I was this close to human trafficking. And I had no idea. You know why I had no idea? Because I was a fool. I didn't know what I was doing, yet I was pretending to know what I was doing. We were being pulled back and forth, and this is what happens with worldly wisdom and godly wisdom. We are pulled at every corner of our life to follow the way of the world's wisdom. We see James, the brother of Jesus, talk about this in James chapter 3. Follow along. They'll be on the screens. You don't need to turn there. Who among you is wise and understanding, says James? By his good conduct, he should show that his works are done in the gentleness that comes from wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't boast and deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from above. But it is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there is disorder and every evil practice. Is there a better scripture that describes our world today? Such wisdom does not come from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there is disorder, chaos, and every evil practice, but the wisdom from above, godly wisdom, is first pure and then peace-loving, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering and without pretense. There are two kinds of wisdom that are battling for us. And the goal of Proverbs is to lay it out for you and say, follow God's wisdom. Because God's wisdom leads to insight, it leads to discretion, it leads to beauty and a caginess that sees through the smoke screen of temptation. Human wisdom, on the other hand, always, always panders to our pride. The idea of losing is unthinkable to the wisdom of our world. Guys, you're smart people. Look at the world that we are living in. Losing is unthinkable. You have to have the power, and you have to have the loudest voice, and you have to be the rightest. The gospel of Jesus is unfathomable to the world that we live in. You know why? Because in God's infinite wisdom, he said, I'm going to make it look like I lose in order to win. I'm going to send my perfect son. I'm going to send him to your earth, and he is going to live the life that we could not live, and he is not going to sin one time, and he is going to be nailed to a cross to set you free. That makes no sense to the world that we live in, because the world's wisdom panders to our pride, and we have to win. It reminds me of John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus says, the enemy has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and life to the full. Godly wisdom is the way to life and life to the full. So then why does not everyone have wisdom? We want it, but we don't have it. Let's read again and figure out if we can figure out why people don't have wisdom. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For learning wisdom and discipline. There it is. Discipline. The application of wisdom requires discipline. For understanding insightful sayings, for receiving prudent instruction in righteousness, justice, and integrity, for teaching shrewdness to the inexperienced, knowledge and discretion to a young man, let a wise person listen and increase in learning, and let a discerning person obtain guidance for understanding a proverb or a parable, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. So when it comes to godly wisdom, my second point tonight is that there is a posture when it comes to godly wisdom. There is a goal to get wisdom, and then the posture to get it. We see it right here. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes what? Wisdom. The posture is humility. And that does not make sense to our world. Look at verse 2. Verse 2 says, for learning wisdom. To be a learner, you have to be humble. To be a learner, you have to admit that you have something that I do not know. Teach me. Verse 3, we see, for receiving prudent instruction. That word received means to be open to something that you do not have. You receive a gift. You don't take a gift. So first, we are learning. Secondly, we are receiving. And then in verse 5, it says, let a wise person listen. God, we live in a world that does not like to listen. We don't have the patience to hear your opinion. I've got my own, and you need to hear it, right? But all three of these things, learning, receiving, and listening, require an immense amount of humility. That's why I wonder in the story of Mary and Martha, when Jesus comes to their house, there is one who is busy doing all the things, and there is one who is sitting, listening at the feet of Jesus, receiving his wisdom. And who does Jesus lift up as the example? Receiving and sitting at his feet. And then in verse 5, let a wise person listen and increase learning, and let a discerning person obtain guidance. So we go from passive learning, receiving, and listening to now we are obtaining it. We're making it ours. We don't just hear it. Because guys, there's a huge difference, you know this, between hearing something and listening to something. In my life, I hear my children all the time. Am I listening to them all the time? Absolutely not. It's chaos. You probably know this situation. You've got a friend that they just, they're a mile a minute. And eventually you kind of zone them out, but you still hear them. Sorry if you're that person. We still love you. We want to listen, but listening is difficult because listening takes humility. One of the hardest and most exhausting things to do is listen well, because it takes every ounce of you to control that inner desire to wander, to explain, to build up your own argument, to respond. Listening is a humble experience. And then in verse 6, it says, so you obtain guidance for understanding a proverb or a parable, the words of the wise and their riddles. You guys ever done a riddle before? How do you solve a riddle? You ask tons of questions. You get really curious. You got to ask the right questions to try and tease out the truth. And so I just want you to see the posture here is humility and obedience. It's humility as we learn and we receive and we listen, and then it's obedience in obtaining it and making it my own and getting really curious with it. That's the obedience. It's not just to hear it. Listen, and then we explore the wisdom. We put it to work and we learn. Because the honest truth is that no one left to themselves ever arrives at godly wisdom on their own. We just don't do that. That'd be like saying, I'm going to buy some Legos, dump them out on the table, and they're going to create whatever they were intended to create. That's not how that works. Just like us left to ourselves, we will go the way of pride. We will go the way of pleasure. We will go the way of the easiest path with the least resistance. That's what we do. That's why he says it's wisdom and discipline, the application. And if we're going to get wisdom, godly wisdom, it means we're going to have to take a posture of humility before the book of Proverbs. And we're going to learn and we're going to explore. And this means that at some point we have to say, God, I value And I want your wisdom more than mine. Otherwise, we will just be hearers and we will not be listeners. We will be pretenders, not doers of God's wisdom. Lastly, he finishes up with the theme verse of all the entire book of Proverbs. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. So the last thing we need with godly wisdom is we need a new perspective. We need the perspective. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. You see, the fear of the Lord is the starting line of this journey of living out godly wisdom. If we don't have the fear of the Lord, we will not walk in wisdom because we have valued something else over the Lord. Now that could sound weird, like what's the fear of the Lord? Here's what I don't mean by that. And that's not what this word in the Hebrew means. It doesn't mean walking around feeling terrified of God. Although we probably should be terrified at some level. He is infinitely massive. And there's a trembling before him because he is holy. We sang it earlier. He is holy and completely good. There probably should be some like, huh. If you've ever watched The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, C.S. Lewis, Narnia, there's this conversation between Mr. Beaver and Lucy talking about Aslan, the lion, the Christ figure. And he says, Lucy says, is he safe? And Mr. Beaver says, who said anything about safe? He's a lion. But he's good. And so this idea of the fear of the Lord doesn't mean walking around with our knees knocking every day. It means holding him in reverence and taking him more seriously than I take my feelings and my thoughts and my opinions. That I hold his thoughts and his opinions and his ways higher than anyone else, including myself, including my friends, that God's ways are revered They are honored in my life. Fear the Lord. Revere the Lord. Fear him. I found this wonderful quote by a pastor out of Nashville. His name is Ray Orland. He says this, "The fear of the Lord is an openness to him, eagerness to please him, and the humility to be instructed by him. The fear of the Lord is when we realize I'm not the measure of all things. That I am not the judge, I am not the jury, I am not king, he is. And fearing him means I am open to him more than I'm open to anyone else. Fearing the Lord means it's my desire to follow him and honor him and walk in his ways and his wisdom. Here's the good news about walking in God's wisdom. Look at Proverbs 14, 26. Whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for their children, it will be a refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death. Guys, next week, we are gonna talk about wisdom as a matter of life and death. It's one of the biggest themes in all of Proverbs. And we've already heard two verses tonight, that there is a way that seems right to you, but in the end, it leads to death. The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death. God's wisdom is your protection. God's wisdom is a fortress around you. It's turning a person from the snares of death. If you saw your friend walking to the edge of a cliff or walking to, you know, a train track and the train's coming, what would you do? You'd grab them. The Proverbs grab us from the snares of death. The fear of the Lord protects us. The fear of the Lord holds us secure, and the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. You know, Satan does such a great job. He is a master manipulator. From the very beginning in the garden, what was his lie? That if you trust him, you will actually miss out. If you listen to him, God, you will miss out on what is actually good. So ignore what he has told you. Come with me. Competing wisdoms. Proverbs teaches us that knowledge, the knowledge of God opens the door to wisdom, but he ends with a contrast. He says, but fools despise wisdom, and they despise discipline. They don't revere God. They are self-reverent. They hold themselves and their opinions and their feelings and their experiences greater than God's opinion. That's the fool. They don't fear the Lord, they fear themselves. You see, the opposite of wisdom is the arrogance of being above instruction. The arrogance of saying, you're too smart for it, you're too good for it, and I'm too busy for it. That is the way of the fool. When we're too busy, when we're too smart, when we're too good for it, whatever, that's just some pastor guy, that's just some old guy writing some pithy phrases. That's the way of the fool. Are you teachable? The level at which you are teachable is your ability to know God's wisdom. If you are not teachable, you will not know God's wisdom. And this is why fearing the Lord is so difficult. Because in and of ourselves, we desperately want to be the genesis of hope. We want to be the genesis of purpose. We want to be the genesis of joy and happiness. We want to find it within ourselves. But here's the wisdom of the Proverbs. No joy, happiness, completion, whatever words you want to throw, will ever be found by turning inward. It will only be found by turning outward and upward. Because we are not the King of Kings. We are not the Lord of Lords. We are not the creator of all things. We are subjects of the creator. And so we look to him. We don't turn inward. We turn upward. That's God's wisdom. And what a wonderful gift that he spells it out in 31 chapters of saying, this is how life is to be lived in the way that he created it. Solomon is saying wise people revere God and lovingly live to please him because he is good and he cares for you. He's not here to catch you in your sin. He's here to set you free from the sin that has caught you. He is your rescue. He is your God, what's that movie? Taken. He's your Liam Neeson. It's why we love the movie. Because he fights through all kinds of craziness to return his child to him. It's a gospel story. This story is deep in every heart. We need rescuing. The rescuing will not come from within. It will come from above. And it has come in the name of Jesus Christ. So what do we do with this? We know the goal. We know the posture is humility and obedience. We know the perspective is that it starts with revering God above all other things. So here's what I want to do. I'm going to give you some so what's, and then we're going to give you some time to reflect on them. And when I say reflect, really what I mean is to pray about them, to go before the Lord and say, God, would you show me? Holy Spirit, would you lead my thoughts? Would you bring some things to mind? So here's my so what's for tonight. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what you fear that unknowingly or knowingly is actually running your life. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning. We all fear something. We all revere something. And either knowingly or unknowingly, it is running your life. Would you be willing to ask the Holy Spirit, God, would you reveal it to me? Would you show me what I am chasing, what I am actually worshiping that is leading me away from your wisdom, that has captured my heart, and it is leading me to disappointment and death? And then confess it to the Lord. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and, bonus, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So we confess freely and joyfully. He has come to set you free. And then the next step is we repent. We confess and then we repent. This is who I am. Now I'm going to turn to you from this and to him. Number two, ask the Holy Spirit, where is God specifically inviting me to walk in his wisdom? What area of my life would the Holy Spirit say, hey, walk this way? Turn from that and walk this way. What area of your life would the Holy Spirit say, hey, let me knock, knock, this way? And then lastly, I want to give you a tangible challenge as we go through this series. In God's infinite wisdom, he gave us his word and he gave us 31 books, chapters in Proverbs. How many days are typically in a month? 30 or 31? How convenient. It's like God is wise and discerning, that he knew we would create a calendar that has 30 to 31 days every single month. So my challenge to you, today is May 7th. I want to challenge you before you go to bed tonight, read Proverbs chapter 7. Buckle up. It's a doozy. And then tomorrow, read Proverbs chapter 8. And then on Thursday, read Proverbs chapter 9. And every day, soak yourself in the wisdom of God for you. It's for you. So that you may live a life that is pleasing and honoring to him. And I'm not here, I'm not gonna promise you everything's gonna go smooth, but you will have the wisdom to navigate through the difficulty. So if you ever think about those cars on the freeway and you see people talking on the phone and you see people not paying attention at the stoplight and you wonder, where are they going? Who are they becoming? Stop for a moment and say, where am I going? And who am I becoming? And who have I allowed to shape me on that journey? God invites you into his wisdom, saying, I know you and I love you. Let me shape you. So we're gonna go into 120 seconds. And if you're new, it's just 2 minutes. We're gonna leave these on the screen. And I want you to actually do number one and two. Just sit quietly and ask God. I don't know you. I don't know what you're going through, but the Lord does. So let him bring to mind what's actually running your life. So go ahead and pray, and then we're gonna continue to worship here in 120 seconds.